Welcome to Blockchain Versus, a podcast specifically intended to dive deep into the technology that we call blockchain and how it has the massive potential to disrupt a number of different industries and literally change the face of how we do business every single day. We're also going to be bringing on some of the most influential people in the blockchain and cryptocurrency space to talk about projects that they're working on and how this technology truly has the opportunity to disrupt the world as we know it. This is Blockchain Versus. Hey everybody, thanks again for joining another episode of the Blockchain Versus podcast. Obviously, I'm joined, as always, with Christina Bruhan. Say hello, Christina.
What up, everybody? Oh my God, we have a great show for you guys today. You don't even know.
I don't know if I would say great. I'd probably say more bad.
Ah, here we go.
So, excited today. We're joined by two really awesome guys. They're from the Bad Crypto podcast, Travis Wright and Joel Kamm. Not only do they host one of the most influential podcasts in the space, very popular among people in the crypto and blockchain community, especially people that are dipping their toe into the industry and trying to understand what's going on and wrapping their heads around this technology. They do a really incredible job breaking it down in simplified terms, having good guests on. So these guys are also, as full disclaimer, they're advisors to us on our project Coin Genius. And I would consider you guys friends at this point as well. So I'll pass it over to you guys to do a brief intro and, discredit maybe anything I've just said.
Are we friends now, Travis?
I definitely bother you at every event and make myself known. So if we're not friends, we're going to be.
I mean, we're at least friendly, right? There's that.
I don't know that we're friendly. We're mostly friendly. I would say that.
That's okay, true. We can be friends. Hey, thanks for having us. We always like speaking with you two, and glad to be on your show.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Well, hey, I mean, there's so much to cover here, and I know we have a small amount of time because you guys are being interviewed by somebody else because you guys are pretty famous now in high demand, I'm sure. So, with that said, let people know, for those folks that don't know, all six of our listeners, can you let them know exactly what you guys do over at the Bad Crypto podcast, how it got started and how you guys got into the blockchain space?
Sure. So it started way back in 1964. Way back in the, was that when you were born, Mr. Joel Kamm?
That is when I was born. That's when it started.
Yeah, that's when it started. And so back in 2017, actually even before that, Joel and I have been friends for a while, and we were just having lots of conversations around politics and how it all sucked. And then we got bored with that, and so we started talking about this cryptocurrency stuff because we noticed Bitcoin was doing some stuff, and this Ethereum's thing that was doing some stuff too, and we were just chatting about it, having a good time, and next thing you know, like almost every day we were having Facebook Messenger audio chats just about, oh man, see, and then I made a comment. I said, well how long until we do the Joel and TW crypto show? And then I made a mistake. I said that. And then Mr. Joel Kamm got an idea and got a wild hair. Next thing you know, we got a podcast. Next thing you know, we got 350 some odd episodes. And it's not ending, Mr. Joel Kamm, is it?
Not yet. Not yet. We're still going strong and
never
having a good time.
Story.
That's awesome. Well, I gotta say, I love what you guys do. I think you guys bring a lot of really good, fun content to the space. There's also events that you do, but like Travis, like I know you all the way back from before Digital Sense days, like when you were like, there's this thing called digital marketing and it's kind of a big deal. So, you guys are definitely authorities in the crypto space, but you're authorities in a lot more than that. Care to elaborate on that?
Well, what I think is, first of all, thank you. I'm glad that you tuned into the book. Actually, the book came out in 2017 also, so you knew me like a couple of months before. We pivoted so quickly. Here's the book, and most people will take their book, and then they will go on like an 18-month, thing about it. I immediately was like, all right, the book is done. What's next, right? And so I think, so blockchain has been great. But yeah, I do think that it's I love emerging technologies, and I've always been able to see kind of what's coming next. And so, I get proficient in this area while I'm learning about this new area that's coming up, right? It's like, oh, I see this is on the horizon. So I'm working and I'm doing this, but then I'm always learning what's next. And I think Joel is very similar in that way, that we've always sort of kind of see what's happening, moving ahead. And like right now, I'm looking at blockchain advertising, and Joel and I are spending a lot of time thinking about that, because with blockchain and the supply chain of advertising, it's going to eliminate ad fraud. There's just a whole lot of stuff that's popping in that space. So it's like, it's always kind of like, what's next? We're working on this, and here's some really cool stuff that I'm curious about and I like to learn about it. So I think that's how I've evolved my career over time, is that natural curiosity has never been quelled.
Yeah. And I'd say, Joel, you kind of come from the same camp, right? You're very early on as it relates to, you know, adopting and utilizing new technologies. You're a futurist, you know, you're a social media expert. I know one of your claims to fame is that you created the iFart app, and also you created a company that eventually became Yahoo Games. So, I mean, you've done a lot in a lot of different spaces. What are your thoughts on, you know, what you've done in the evolution of, you know, kind of whatever things unfolded to be in terms of digital marketing, social media, and how it relates to this new technology, which we call blockchain?
Well, I like what I've done. I've had a lot of fun doing it. And I think that's really the secret to it, is that I like to play with all the toys. You know, you never know when you start experimenting with a certain technology where it's going to go. As a nerd, you know, as a lifelong geek who owned his first computer in 1980 and was dialing into the online world that same year at 300 baud, you know, it's all about experimentation and playing with all the cool gadgets. And when it turns out that something actually works, it's like, oh, let's stick around here and play with this a little bit longer. And it's exactly what happened with all the things you mentioned. And it's what happened with this podcast. You know, I was fascinated with blockchain, and my conversations with Travis were extensive and daily. And it was his idea to, you know, hey, what would you think of putting on a show? And I immediately thought, yes, this is exactly what I want to do. Sounds like great fun. As long as we're going to have these conversations, let's take people along with us for the ride. And who knew that so many people would, you know, buckle in and want to go on this really bad ride with us. And all that to say is, all I know is this is what's hot right now. This is what we're excited about right now. And I'm sure as time goes on, there's going to be other toys that we're going to play with and end up going down some other rabbit holes. And who knows where that'll lead. It wasn't me.
The prestigious iFart app.
That was the Burrito Maximo.
Right there. Oh, thank you, Travis. Thank you for pimping that. We appreciate it. iFart Mobile, available on both iOS and Android.
Which is why you guys are really here today. It has nothing to do with your bad podcast or the bad crypto podcast or the WCC event, which is World Crypto Con, which I got to say, I go to a lot of events. It is one of my favorites. It's a bit more to me of like the festival. There's a bit more hoopla. And the reason I say that was the event that we had the poker tournament, which was amazing. And I got to like play with like Jeff Gross and Scotty Wynn and Phil Hellmuth was there. Like, what an amazing experience. And that's just like the tip of the iceberg for WCC. Tell us a little bit about what you guys have planned this year. I know it's always on the anniversary of, tell me again, is when Satoshi released the code on October 31st. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think this year it coincides with the blockchain week in Las Vegas, right? So they just sort of combined it all, because last year there was a big event put on by Michael Turpin and his group. And then like a couple of days later was World CryptoCon. And so it was like, there was just a disconnect. There's like, hey, people come out for 4 or 5 days and enjoy it all. And World CryptoCon kicked off last year on Halloween, and they had the big Halloween party that night. And then the next morning at 8 or 9 a.m. when the conference began, everybody's dead. So they decided, let's flip this around. Let's have the end of it be on Halloween. That way everybody can party their asses off on Halloween and not have to go to an early ass conference the next day.
It's an excellent strategy. I know. I think I showed up around noon that day.
I think I lost my voice by day two, that one. I was like, it was so loud. Right.
The interesting thing is about going to a number of different conferences as well, is that just the conference itself too, right? Especially if you have a booth or if you're just mingling with people. I mean, it drains you. And I can only imagine from your guys' perspective, because you're getting pulled in so many different directions. You guys are getting interviewed. You guys are hosting meetups, whatever the case may be. So that might be challenging. You might not even be up for the party by the end of the whole thing. You know what I mean?
And actually, at Consensus this year was the first time that I think I'd really noticed how like we were getting pulled all over the place. Because normally we're the ones doing the interviewing. And now what seems to happen is more people are interviewing us because we had recently launched a new project called Badcoin, which we'll talk about in a bit, like how we brought mining back so everyone can mine crypto with Badcoin. And so what was interesting was that in Consensus, we had so many meetings where people were just wanting to interview us and chat with us, whereas normally it's – and we still have all the people who we want to chat with and interview, and then going around and talking to all the people in the booths, and then going to, you know, having an evening happy hour kind of thing where there's loud music and everybody's talking. Next thing you know, it's like, yeah, you get your energy drained after a while, personally.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So, guys, there's, like I said, there's a lot to get into here. And there's like three central themes that I want to kind of cover today. The first one is you guys have been doing this since, you know, 2017. And I've been following you guys since the very beginning. Actually, you guys were one of the main reasons and motivations for starting our own podcast. We really are having interesting conversations. We're running our business and Coin Genius, as you guys know, you're advising to. So, you know, we have these conversations anyway. And we thought it also, just like you guys said initially when you created this, it might be interesting to other people as well, because we're still so early on in this industry and the cycle of what we think ultimately blockchain and Bitcoin and all the cryptocurrencies will become. You guys, as part of your segment on a weekly, I believe, basis, you guys, you know, do episodes where you interview companies, right? New companies that are coming up with new solutions. Some of you advise, most you don't. But I feel like you guys have like the greatest ear to the ground as to what's happening and what's forthcoming as it relates to the evolution of this technology. So what have you guys learned since the inception of this kind of thing in this format from the companies that have either failed or succeeded? And what is kind of that common thread and how do you kind of foresee that playing out?
We have the best ear. We like to keep it on the ground and hear what's going on with it. It's a very big ear.
We hear all the things. Nobody can get things past us.
We do. You know, I think, again, we're just naturally curious, and we have interviewed so many companies really in just dozens of verticals. And I think what strikes me is that there's no shortage of ingenuity or at least ideas. Not all of the ideas are ingenious, but in terms of people being creative and looking at all these different verticals and saying, how do we fix what's broken in this particular industry? You know, whether it's energy or entertainment, you know, video streaming or voting, any number of different verticals, there's people going, there's stuff here that's broken, and we believe that blockchain can fix some or all of the problems that we're dealing with. How can we be the ones to step in and disrupt this industry that's got broken stuff going on and fix it and take the lead? And I love that.
Joel, I have a quick question. You guys were recently in France for like the France Blockchain Week.
Oui, oui.
And you, oui, oui. Ha, ha, ha. I did hear that episode. I know.
Don't get us started on that. I can't stop once I start making my French fake accents. And then people get upset, like, Travis, quit making fun of the French. I'm not.
I'm just horribly impersonating. I also cannot do accents, so I feel you on that one. But my
you can't do that very well. Okay. Is basically what you're saying right now.
I can't do accents. But yeah, I guess I did lump you in on that one. So all right, let me pivot to the actual question, which is, do you guys see a regional difference in the adoption of blockchain? Outside of the US, there's other things happening, right? A lot of people are focused on SEC regulation, but there's a lot of companies, islands, Singapore, a whole bunch of other regional influences. Do you guys see that firsthand? How do you guys track that? And what are your thoughts there about maybe how the US can kind of catch up?
Well, gosh, Travis, I would say, you know, more than half of the companies we've spoken with, if not the greater majority, are from elsewhere because of the concerns with regulation in the US.
Yeah, I would say most innovative blockchain projects are not based in America. The way that the regulations and stuff is set up is not conducive to do business. And actually, even with chatting with people who are in different agencies, they're like, yeah, the way that it is right now, probably best that you go offshore somewhere. And so, you know, when people within those organizations are recommending you go elsewhere, that's where you know you need to go elsewhere. Not because, you know, what we're doing is bad or illegal. It's just that I don't think that there's an organization set up yet who really truly understands how to deal with this new business type.
Yeah, no, I think we're seeing the same thing, right? I mean, you guys travel all around the world. We do not. We pretty much stay in the US. But you guys are all over the place. You guys are in like Malta, I feel like Gibraltar. I know you guys do that annual cruise. I'm not sure if you're doing that Coins Bank one, but I mean, you guys see a lot, you know, across different countries. And I'm sure you've talked to like government regulators and different businesses. I mean, what do you say and what would you think are the leading countries that are really at the forefront of this and where you see a lot of these projects moving towards?
Well, I mean, you know, Malta is the blockchain island, Gibraltar, Singapore. They're doing some cool stuff in Australia. Some of the Eastern Bloc countries are on the front lines of this. Estonia. What are some others, Trav?
Yeah, well, we just had a great conversation today talking about you know, where to place our foundation for Badcoin. And, you know, a lot of the attorneys are going, well, you know, maybe even Georgia, maybe even Costa Rica, because there's, you know, legislation and stuff that's been set up in those countries that make it, you know, make it better for the crypto companies to operate out of. So there's a lot of different ones. They're just not in the U.S. U.S. doesn't have it figured out yet. However, there's some great stuff going on in Wyoming, which I think are just, you know, they're doing a great job. Caitlin Long and that group up there in Wyoming are passing some great
Indy,
stuff.
All of those folks. Yeah, for sure. I think Wyoming is probably like pushing forward the hardest in terms of like, we're going to have lobbying in DC. I think it's going to come from Wyoming.
And also France, I would say, when we were there, excuse me, when we were there, they were talking about how their regulations and what they're passing should be the model for the rest of the EU. So they're saying, hey, EU, look at what France is doing and let's model it after that. So they're doing some good stuff too.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you guys obviously see so much. You really are the futurist that I look towards. So you guys see those big trends. Social media is, I think, something that's ripe for disruption. I think Facebook would agree with me on that. But I'm honestly a little terrified about Facebook being the first one to lead the charge on this. I think they could set a baseline that is not the template for what blockchain can be in social media. Can either of you two kind of expand on that a bit and just talk about what could be, not what is right now, but what could be in social media and blockchain?
Well, I think that Facebook's coin, whatever it is, and however the application utility of it works, is potentially going to be that watershed moment that we've been looking for. I think we've been talking about the watershed moment being an application that makes crypto easy for everybody. But in hearing about the Facebook coin, I realized that the watershed moment could come through a different means. And the fact that they've got 2 billion users around the world, and there's 7.5 billion people in the world, right? So that is a huge number. I think that awareness that it's going to bring to crypto. In fact, I think we could attribute the latest run that we've seen in the price of Bitcoin to the fact that Facebook has been in the news a whole lot with their crypto coin. And I believe that could be the actual watershed moment, bringing that awareness that is then going to make people say, what is this cryptocurrency? You know, I've heard of, Facebook's got this thing, but I've heard about Bitcoin before. Maybe I need to look about into that a little bit more. And then, of course, they're going to listen to all our podcasts. And, you know, we have yet to, you know, really begin. I think what's happened here these past few years is we've just been setting the stage and building a foundation of pioneers and early adopters, but the masses are yet to come. And when they do, it's not just going to be because they're interested, but I think it's going to be because they're going to need to know what crypto is and how it works, because the world money systems are failing us. And I can't remember what your question was, but that's my answer.
Well, that's fair. My question was, how is blockchain going to disrupt social media? So I think that's
Travis,
a good start.
Go with that.
I think there's also a lot to be said for the technical aspect of it. I mean, blockchain is a consensus machine, which is very well tailored to likes and sentiment and being able to track that on a metric level and have that kind of transparency. Travis, this is like right up your alley. Like from social media, when you put blockchain with that, for the person who doesn't know, how does that transform the entire landscape?
Well, it's definitely a shift that's going on, right? And I think that, you know, I'm going to take it back a little bit, talk where Joel was talking about with Facebook and launching their coin. And I think that it is going to be profound in a lot of ways. I think, though, that the Facebook coin is going to be shit. So I've already created a hashtag and I'm buying the website, fuckzuckbucks.com. I mean, you put a hashtag program around that, fuckzuckbucks. And, you know, buy Bitcoin instead or something, right? But I think that I do think that social media is ripe for disruption, as you said, because of how cavalier the executives are at these companies and pushing their political bias and agendas through their platforms. And by depersoning people and deplatforming folks from their platform just because they say so and they don't like what they're talking about and they're viewing, you know, this type of stuff as hate speech and eliminating people from the sites, that's going to kill them. And what we're seeing right now is there's sites like Karma app, which is a block decentralized platform. We've seen Steemit, right? Is the decentralized platform. Also, DTube has gotten a lot of visibility recently when PewDiePie said that he's going to exclusively stream there, right? BitChute is another one. Another cool project is one called Bravo, which is like Yelp for blockchain. So more of these blockchain solutions are popping up and they're going to start pushing out some of these social media sites. So I actually think, and this is going to be my prediction, is that Facebook creating the Facebook global coin or whatever they're going to call it is actually going to be the thing that accelerates their demise. Because more and more people.
I think so too. Oh my God. I'm so excited to hear someone else say that. I'm like, they're basically trying to like rise above and blockchain is going to chop their head off. Like they're not doing it right. They're not setting the right template.
I just think that people are going to become aware of Bitcoin and decentralization and blockchain. And they're going to go, oh, Facebook's completely centralized. They own all, they're making all the money from us. They're eliminating people's and points of view. Oh, look, here's another platform that I could do where I can actually make money from like for creating content. And I think that shift will happen probably over about 2 to 5 years, but probably over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll start seeing some really big move. But I don't think it's going to kill Facebook because Facebook has VR and they have Oculus and they have WhatsApp and they have Instagram.
Yeah, it's a monster.
And I really think some of that stuff should be separated. They should kind of go like Alphabet does and move their businesses apart because it's getting too ancestral. Their businesses are. And I don't like it.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it could go either way, honestly. I mean, it really just depends because, as we know, I think it's on us, the people that are earlier in the space. I say early, but the real early folks, obviously 2009 or earlier, that were working on distributed ledger technologies and stuff before the white paper ever got released. But it is on us, the people that are, you know, whether you're in media, you're putting on podcasts, you're putting on shows, to educate the public, because without education, people are not going to understand the implications of going with the Facebook global coin versus Bitcoin specifically. And because it's just easy, and maybe they input in the messenger functionality or WhatsApp or whatever the case may be, because it's easy, they'll just inevitably adopt it, right? So it could go either way. So like I said, it's really on us and the community at large to be able to educate people as to why there's better options per se.
That's what we do. We're about educating people, but we're learning along the way ourselves. And nobody's got a crystal ball that really works, right? Everybody's got their opinions, and we have our little predictions about what we think is going to happen. I do agree that social media sites are totally poised for disruption. You know, we interviewed the guys from BravoCoin recently, bravocoin.com, and they took a look at what's going on with Yelp and all the fake reviews, you know, people buying reviews to make themselves look better. And they're like, what if there was a way to decentralize this and make reviewing services and restaurants and hotels and even cryptocurrencies fair and reward people for their reviews? And that's exactly what they're doing. And so we're reviewing stuff on the app and we're earning Bravo.
That's cool. I actually downloaded an app called Storm. That's just a, you know, survey app as well. And you just answer survey questions and then you get Storm tokens and you can eventually do a lot with it. So it's pretty cool to see these mass applications come to market. Still very early because not a lot of people know they exist, but it's still pretty interesting, you know, to kind of see these come to fruition. One thing that I want to ask you guys, right, for the listeners, especially people that are dipping their toe in the space, people that are interested in learning more, but this just haven't quite got over the hump yet. Right. So let's just talk to like the digital marketing executives, which I think is going to be tremendously valuable for them to understand the implications of blockchain on their business and how it can help from an analytical standpoint. Like Travis, especially with your background in writing Digital Sense with Chris Snook, I mean, what are your thoughts in terms of, you know, advice you might be able to give people in that space to where they need to keep their eyes and ears open? And what do you think is the best way for them to get some intimate knowledge of how they can utilize and adopt it in their own companies?
Well, I would say this. For one, you want to understand blockchain because blockchain is the killer app. It's not the crypto. It's blockchain. I explain like this. Bitcoin is the incentive that is given to the miners or those out there who are verifying all the transactions that are happening on the Bitcoin blockchain, right? If you don't have those miners out there independently verifying those transactions, then you don't have proof of work, you don't have consensus, then you have to have a clearinghouse like you have to have in a bank, right? So with all of this distributed and decentralized nature of Bitcoin, all those transactions are being, you know, they have to be accounted for and make sure that they're valid. And so that's what the miners are doing. They're verifying all these transactions. And at the end, they're solving this big computational problem. And then once that problem is solved, boop, that block is done and new Bitcoin is created, right? So once you understand that, you go, ah, okay. So how can this change the world? How can you do stuff? Well, also think of this. There's only 21 million Bitcoin ever. 21 million Bitcoin. And how many people are there, right? It's like 21 million people. Divided by what? Like there's like 8 billion people now or something? Let me see here. I'm going to do math on the fly.
Yeah, I got to carry the two. Hold on.
Are you using a calculator, Travis?
I was actually using my keyboard. Well, you're going to get, like most people are going to, if everybody had some Bitcoin in the world, you're going to have like 0.002 Bitcoin or something. Like that's how much, if every person got distributed in a socialistic way, everybody would have 0.002. So, I would say this, you know, get 0.1, right? Imagine if you have 0.1 down the road and nobody, like most people aren't going to ever have any Bitcoin because some people are going to have a lot, some people are going to have none. And so Bitcoin is there's 8 decimal points in a Bitcoin. So get yourself some at a price that you can afford and just hold it. Hold it for a while. And I'm not a financial advisor.
Are you giving financial advice there, Travis?
I'm just saying probably would be smart to have some. I don't know.
So I totally agree with what you're saying, Travis. There's this concept, digital gold. If you had the chance to go out and just buy a chunk of gold and put it in your bank account, would you do it? Like, I mean, and it's really that simple. So it's not financial advice. It is simply saying these are stored values. Peer-to-peer currency is coming. Tokenized economies are coming. Blockchain is coming. Be ready for it. This can help your businesses. This can help create transparency to everything. And when you start talking about interoperability, and I'm about to get down my nerd path here, just because like I just really okay, are you wall okay, Charlie Brown? No, I get so excited. I really think that blockchain is like that's what people hear.
When we start using those terms, people start hearing wah 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 wah. They're going, whoa, what does that mean?
So how do you break that down? How do you talk to that? And like I love to use like my hello family, my redneck family that has no idea about crypto, or some of my other family members that are like, that's not real money. And I'm like, I can't talk to you. Like, how do you break it down?
Get some of these, get some of those old, go on Amazon and get some cowrie shells, right? Cowrie shells is what people used to use as money. And then like have a silver coin too. And then we started using silver coins, and then we had paper. And now look, we got this credit card thing that now you can just wave it in front of the credit card machine. And I don't know how does that work, Dad? You know how that works?
It's magic.
It's magical internet money is what crypto is. And it's the next evolution of finance and payments and currency and global exchange. And you know what? We all got a computer. Think of what's going to happen over the next, you know, decade or so. We're only going to be more technically and more nerdy. You think we're going to go back to paper and have to go drive to a bank and need to do all of that whenever I can send Mr. Joel Com money in like 2 cents, 2 seconds?
You remember putting the checks like in the chutes and like the chutes going, like, I do miss that part.
When this
fintech industry, when the banking industry is fully disrupted, that's how I'm going to feel at the end of it. Like, oh, I really missed paying those overdraft fees. Like, I really missed MasterCard getting that 35 cents every transaction.
You can send your laundry up to the bedroom.
Yeah, you can.
One of those vacuum things.
I'm a nerd. I'll find some use for like a hyper, whatever the heck you call it, tube.
If you really miss it that much, Mr. Travis Wright will let you put a check in his chute.
He's already like engineering it over there. I can see him scratching it out on the.
Put a check in my chute. Is that what you said?
I did not say that unless it was recorded, in which case I might have.
Keep things out of my chute.
Oh my God.
Well, guys, let's pivot to another part of the conversation because, you know, we're talking about innovation. Good, we're talking about
by the way. Yeah, please.
What'd you say?
I think that's good timing, pivoting here, because somebody said something about putting a check in Mr. Travis Wright's chute, and that was just totally...
Travis just get that out of my chute, and yeah, I was like cackling in the background.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, we're talking about this disruption, this new paradigm shift, like I was saying, and you guys, you know, not only are trying to educate people, obviously with the podcast, you guys are spreading the word, you guys are keynote speakers all over the place. But one of the other interesting things that you guys have done, which is the creation of Badcoin. Obviously you guys originally created, to my understanding, on BitShares. You guys created it, you know, just for fun to go through the process of seeing like how you can set up your own coin and maybe there was going to be some added benefits in the future. And then you had this opportunity recently with Marshall Long and creating a brand new type of blockchain, which basically levelizes the playing field, to my understanding, from a mining perspective. So anybody has the ability to mine. The hash power is not necessarily controlled by any one or two entities. It's actually, you know, something that people can mine anywhere on a cell phone or anywhere in the world. And it kind of breaks down that barrier. So let's talk a little bit about Badcoin in that particular project, because I think this is potentially revolutionary in terms of what you guys are doing.
I think what's revolutionary is your use of the word levelizing. I think that was
revolutionary.
Like you wordified the crap out of that. And I applaud that because I appreciate new words.
No, you don't even know. He came up with pendejo-ness the other day. It was epic.
Pendejo-ness?
You're exhibiting quite a bit of pendejo-ness right now.
That's holishness behavior. I never got that. Well, that's great.
Nice.
Exactly.
Very good. So I would say this. So, you know, when we created originally, Joel was chatting with someone and they found out that we could create, a coin on BitShares. And we sat down with them. I think it cost $100 and we were able to create 10 billion tokens out of the blue. And we were just, and we, you know, would then take some out and we would give them to our fans, right? We had fun with that. Well, I think it was about a year ago now. We were sitting there talking and I was like, you know, it's really kind of unfair how the large scale mining operators are the only ones who can mine for crypto today. Right. So there's like four main pools and seven smaller pools. And there's so much computational power mining, you know, these warehouses full of these crypto miners. Right. Like I remember back in the day, I could mine on my laptop. Like in 2010, I mined a block of Bitcoin on my laptop, killed my laptop, and I didn't get my Bitcoin off of there. And that's sad, but I was fun to mine.
But it happened.
And it was fun to mine on my computer, but just regular folks can't mine anymore. It's like if you ask somebody if they want to go set up a mining operation to do Bitcoin, they're going to look at you like, what? How do you even do that?
Yeah, they're like, where's my excavator? Like, how many shovels do I need? No, I totally agree. So I'm a big fan of like Bitmain's like Antminer ASIC board, GPUs, all of that. That is serious horsepower. Like that, you can't set that up in your spare bedroom. That's going to run up your electricity bill.
You're
like
not just
going to
start at that. You're going to be like, hey, let me buy this Antminer and get going.
Right? Like you need to
let me network together a bunch of GPU boards. Like regular people are not just going to do that, right? And so
correct. Yeah, you can't send a kit to someone's house and be like, "Here is your home mining equipment." Yeah. Like there is a knowledge transfer concept that has to happen, and I think by looking at mining on cell phones, you eliminate that.
Yeah. And so that was one of the things as we said, "Hey, what if we flip that on the head?" Because it's been basically a tech war, like who can have the most powerful hash, and it's been a race. It's been an arms race. So what if we flip that funnel and we say, let's have the baddest and the worst computers be the ones who can mine the best? That was the goal. And so what we've done is we've created this currency that can be mined. It's a blockchain. It's a five algorithm multi-chain. And so you can mine with anything. You can mine with a full warehouse of ASIC computers. You're going to connect to the SHA-256 algorithm, and your difficulty is going to be very, very high, and your reward is going to be lower. You can connect to the YesScript algorithm with your MacBook or a Raspberry Pi or your PC or your grandma's Pentium 1 at her house. And you just download the mining equipment. You then go in and configure the mining equipment to the right place in the pool. And then you are now mining Badcoin. And every day you're going to get a nice little chunk of Badcoin sent out to you. And so we have now nearly 500 concurrent miners out there that are mining Badcoin. And it's on an exchange, and it's a more fair blockchain for mining, and it's a great sort of educational way, because if once you understand this, it really helps you understand blockchain and crypto once you start doing this, I think.
So Travis, can you expand really quick on like the person who knows nothing about mining when they have a laptop that, you know, might not be that great or whatever, but I mean, you're not talking about like a Commodore 64 here. I mean, this is technology that might be laying around your house that you can use to create passive income. And that's a concept that not a lot of people might understand.
Right. Well, I would not call it passive income because the tokens aren't really worth anything yet. And the most important thing for us to consider is, you know, we just want people to mine. We want you to test it out and try it. And you know what? The value of it will take care of itself because as people start finding more and more use for it. But the thing is, man, is like, it's so cool that people can mine with any device they have in their house. Now, you can't with an iOS device because Apple has their thing locked down, but there is an Android. There's a way to mine it with Android. It just destroys your battery. It kills your battery. It's probably best to have like an old, you know, desktop or an old laptop you don't use and just kind of set that up. And it's fun. You get to watch it come in and watch your cryptos grow and you understand how it works. And I think that's one thing that's cool about it is anyone can do it anywhere as long as you have an internet connection and you have a device. That's what we wanted to do.
I mean, what's great about it, Travis, is it's magical
internet money.
Oh man, we need your technician now to do the little guitar effect. Come on.
You guys like that's like so, Tenacious D flashback right there.
All right, I'm gonna try to get this out now because I know we're all super excited. But one of the things I wanted to say is that to me, what's really exciting, I'm not sure if you mentioned this or not, so I apologize, but I think the code base, right, is open source as well, which I think is really cool, really unique, and very reminiscent of companies in the blockchain space and this community feel, this community aspect that we have here. And that's really cool because there's a lot of people that might be able to leverage the code and do something very, very similar so we can have a new paradigm in this industry. Well,
there are the community is taking this. The GitHub is out there. The website is badcoin.net, and you could, you know, get the wallet and how to mine and links to the GitHub and the white paper. But you know, one guy started a bad faucet. You put your address in. I think it's badfaucet.com, and I think it's every 12 hours you can pull 1 to 5 bad from the faucet. Another guy has written us, and he has developed a paper wallet, which we still need to have the dev team vet make sure that, you know, there's no holes in it and that it's all pure, but that'll allow people to store their bad coin on a bad dress. You know, so we have bad dresses, our advisors are bad visors, and those that are out spreading the word are bad acidors.
And we're looking for more bad acidors. and our white paper has been translated into Spanish. Somebody's translating it into Chinese right now. We have another one being translated into Arabic. So our goal is to get this thing, you know, worldwide. It's some of the largest areas where the miners are out there. And, you know, we had our first one in Zaire. So we're going to different countries. It's pretty cool. Like when you have over 500 miners, and we just started this thing, you know, about a month ago now.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, guys. I mean, that's really cool to see also the evolution of the bad coin and, you know, turning into something that potentially can help a lot of people, right? Especially from a mining perspective, at the very least, to be able to teach people about mining by breaking it down in a way to where they can mine on something that's less powerful than some of those ASIC miners. So that's awesome. So pivoting the conversation once again, I mean, you know, I know we're limited on time. You guys have another interview, so want to be respectful of that. What would you guys say, like moving forward, is the goal of Badcoin? Like, where do you see it ultimately in the next like 2 to 5 years?
Well, I would say the main goal is over the next 2 to 3 years, you know, we'd love to see 100,000 people mining Badcoin. And the way we've set up our blockchain is it got the same length as Bitcoin. So, you know, Badcoin could conceivably be mineable for at least the next 110 years or so. So where else could it go, Mr. Joelcom? Where do you want it to go?
I make no predictions, you know, about Badcoin. I'm glad that it's been created. It really belongs to the public to do with it what they want to do. And, you know, it would be great to see it become a token that people actually use for transaction.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd like to see it like to pass EOS in market cap. That'd be cool.
A lofty goal, but you never know. Anything's possible.
I don't care, actually, really. What I think is cool is like people are having fun with it. That's what I think is the most. I mean, that is the adjective most used by folks by far is, wow, it's so fun. They love seeing Badcoin trickle in. It's cool. cool.
Nice, nice. Well, guys, we're gonna wrap up. I'm gonna end on a few questions just because you guys have vast knowledge of the space. Number one is, what's your favorite event to go to? So somebody looking to go to a conference or a meetup or whatever the case may be, and you can't say your own, but what are some of the best events out there in the space where you feel that people could, you know, learn the most?
Damn it, I wanted to say my own. That was like, I wanted to say the future and upcoming one day bad Crypticon, but now I can't. I can't say that.
You know, I would say Consensus was really good, but although, you know, there were so many amazing people there, I think that's really where the events are, is that you're going to go and learn some stuff sitting in the sessions, but really the opportunities are the people that you meet, the relationships that you build, and the partnerships that you gather as a result of all of that. So I think that, you know, Consensus was great. Consensus could have been another day in length. We totally could have managed on that one. And you mentioned World CryptoCon, that was fun. There's been a few just all around the world that I think are just good, but it depends on what it is you're trying to do. If you're in the space, go check out one. If there's probably a blockchain week in your city or your nearest big city, right? So go check that out. Meet the people in your neighborhood and in your city and start connecting and start learning as much as you can. Now, if you really want to start, you know, understanding the basics, we did set up a playlist of Bad Crypto and the basics. So if you go to badco.in, which spells bad coin, but badco.in/basics, you got the first 10 episodes that basically teach people all about blockchain.
They're doing a blockchain week Antarctica soon, and they're going to focus on cold storage.
I love that.
Oh, finally got a dad joke in here. Perfect. Perfect.
I had to do it.
Nice.
What would you guys say after all of your interviews? And I'm actually very, like, personally curious about this. You guys have interviewed everybody in the space, you know, from the top influencers to the newer projects. What would you say was the most liked episode from your perspective, like the funnest episode and also the worst episode?
Dude, it's always a riot to interview McAfee. We've had him on twice now, and say what you want about the guy. You know, some people are like, oh, I can't believe you give that guy a platform. In fact, who was it? It was Nick Szabo that wouldn't come on our show because we interview some people that he's like, I can't believe you give people like that a platform. And, you know, we're entertainment first and education second. You know, we're speakers and we're entertainers and we're crypto medians. And we did the show because we thought it would be fun and we're having a good time. And the fact that people are learning along the way. So I'm going to stick with McAfee being tops of the pops.
We are edutainers.
Yeah, like the mashup there. Okay. Ooh. I have a quick spinoff question.
Wait, hold on. We got to tell you the shittiest one. You got to
hear
the worst
one. We do, this one's pertaining to McAfee. So I need a spinoff.
No, I got to tell you.
Am I right?
Too bad.
Am I right? Am I right?
Somebody came on one of our ICO spotlights and was doing an ICO for this horse thing that basically was like a Fitbit for horses that fit underneath their saddle. And I was like, so why does this need an ICO? Why does this need a token? And he goes, oh, because we're trying to raise some money. I was like, man, go to Churchill Downs, bro. If this is valuable, somebody there will totally love it.
And Tech might be interested for sure.
EHO Tech no longer exists, so we can say that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate you guys kind of circling back on that. My tangent on McAfee is also a lightning question. What condiment will McAfee need to add in order to execute his bet?
We actually asked him that question when we had him on the show. And he, no, that was the first question we asked him. I think Travis asked. And his answer was none, because it's not going to happen.
Wow. That's true. Doubled down, huh?
Well, I think it's going to be a bolognese. He's going to do like a dick lasagna kind of a thing.
I personally think sauerkraut. I've heard relish. I've heard like an artisanal grain.
No, he wants to go mustard. Italian. He wants to pasta it up.
Some caprese, some basil and mozzarella situation.
Yeah, maybe some tomatoes.
I think the artisanal mustard, Christina, wasn't that Sultan?
Like, and I know you guys had the artisanal mustard, and he's like stone ground, and I was like, "No, your transaction, man."
Yeah, nice.
Oh man, that's great. Well, guys, thank you so much. I know you guys got to run for being on the show. We'd love to have you guys back in the future, but everybody, please go check out the Bad Crypto podcast. Check out Bad Coin and all the cool things that they're doing. Guys, where would you suggest they go?
You know, actually, in this age of decentralization and social media tyranny that is heading our way, you never know when you're going to get banned. And so we'd like to encourage people to just subscribe to our newsletter so that we know we can reach them and tell them all the places that we're going to be. So just go to badcryptopodcast.com and click for the newsletter there. Sign up. We send one email a week like clockwork. We don't spam. We don't pitch stuff. We just let you know what's happening in the Republic of Bad Cryptopia, which is a real place in my mind, and that's how you can stay bad.
Hey, what happens though when like email subscribers or email platform, you know, providers, they start saying, well, we don't like the emails that you're sending, and so we're gonna
shut off your decentralized email. Yeah,
not too far away. Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been a pleasure. I really appreciate it. The last thing I'm going to end with is that I know you guys end every episode with stay bad, love it. What would you suggest for us, right? So, you know, we can kind of, you know, write the rules. So anything for us that you think we could end on?
Well, you need to, like, it's got to come from you. I remember the first episode we did, you know, Travis and I, we had no idea what we were doing. And we were coming up to the end of the show. And I'm like, how do we get out of here? And I just said, stay bad. And that was it. It just came naturally and it stuck. And now it's a thing.
Now we're both so, very, you know, bad. We can't.
We're very bad. Stuck. So you don't have your own ending right now, so you can borrow ours. Stay bad.
This has been a production of Blockchain Intelligence LLC. This podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. The thoughts and opinions of Blockchain Versus and their guests are their own and should not be construed as professional advice of any kind. Before making any investment decisions, you should always do your own research and seek help from a professional. If you would like to get in touch with the Blockchain Versus podcast, please go to www.blockchainversus.com or email us at info@blockchainversus.com.